Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, April 3rd, 2020. We are going to be looking at one of Billy's books called Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. And we've got a couple other good books here we might look at briefly. The Way to Live, The Art zu Leben, The Psyche, which sounds the same in English or German. And The Talmud of Emmanuel by Judas Iscariot. Another really good book that you should check out is called The Goblet of Truth, Kelch der Wahrheit, in the German. Billy lives in Switzerland. He's in his 80s. He lives about 35 minutes east of Zurich in a place they call Hinterschmidbruti. Schmidbruti is the little town that Billy lives behind. That's where Hinter comes into play. Billy had telepathic contacts with a man named Svoth in 1943 when Billy was living in Bulach, Switzerland, which is farther north near the Eichenmoser and Bruder Mountains in the Glatt Valley. Eventually, Svoth landed his silvery pear-shaped craft in a field near Billy's home. Billy felt as if he was lifted up by ghostly hands, he would say, and brought into the ship. And eventually, the ship would go into the sky and eventually into orbit. And one of the things that Svoth liked to tell Billy was about Billy's predecessors, his wargangers, his previous lives, where he lived as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, Nicodemian, Henoch, and other teachers who taught the teaching of the Spirit. And the teaching of the Spirit includes information on the creational natural laws like reincarnation, love, striving, the law of harmony, which keeps us in neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking. Our life always forms according to our thoughts. And it forms according to the thoughts that you choose. You're selecting your thoughts. You tend your thoughts, means you take care of them. You organize them. And you nurture your thoughts. You help them grow. You help them develop. Life always forms according to the thoughts which are chosen, tended, and nurtured. And as it says here in Macht der Gedanken, one of the thoughts that you don't want to choose is unsatisfaction. I'll read this little bit of the paragraph here. It says, the truth of the existence of human unsatisfaction, namely, lies entirely elsewhere, and indeed in the human being himself or herself, who produces it through unfulfillable and unreal ideas, which can never bring to full expression, which can never be brought to full expression, and can also never develop into ideals, I-D-E-A-L-S, capable of realization. So we have this thing called unsatisfaction. It's really a trap. If you're feeling that, you definitely want to choose different thoughts, and you want to tend different thoughts, because unsatisfaction kills off all your initiative, and particularly your initiative for striving. And striving is the second creational natural law. I call it the second. It might be the 100th, I don't know, but it's certainly the big one that I learned about as number 2 on the list for me. Let me read a little bit about striving here. It says, striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation, which is satisfaction and things like that. Striving means delectation in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. So if you allow unsatisfaction to come into your life, you'll interrupt your striving, which is one of these creational natural laws, laws of the universe. If you don't follow these laws of the universe, life is always much harder. So your unsatisfaction kills off your initiative, your striving cuts down, and then you start to become afflicted. Things go wrong. All kinds of things go wrong. Inhibited striving, inhibited life, inhibited striving, inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness, grief, and confusion, irritability, and it goes on and on and on. So the best bet is just don't let unsatisfaction ruin your life. Be satisfied with what you have now. Be satisfied even with this weird situation that we're in with the coronavirus, which, by the way, is very strange because in 2018, there were 61,000 people killed because of the flu in the United States. So far, there's only been 6,000 people killed by the coronavirus. Are we being set up for a global reset of the currency? Has this been intentionally done by the global elite in order to destroy our economy? I'm not saying the virus isn't real. It is real. And you should be taking zinc. You should be taking colloidal silver. D3 is a must. And there are some other things that help, like having neutral, positive, equalized thoughts. Get out in the sun a little bit. Get some mild exercise. Don't be unsatisfied because of the situation that you're in right now. Unsatisfaction is unable to create any ideas or any balance of the personality. Consequently, neither progress nor success arise from it. So be satisfied even if you're in difficulty. You know, I look back and I think of progress when I look back. It's good to keep track of your striving. Make a little journal or Word document or something that keeps track of what you've been working on and the progress that you've made towards some of your goals. Because if you keep persevering and persisting, it may take a month, it may take 6 weeks or whatever, but some of these goals that you have will start to fulfill themselves. They'll start to fill out, even though it seems like you're never going to get there sometimes. So don't be unsatisfied. Another thing is it's good and healthy to occupy yourself with dreaming, visions, and fantasies, because this is how the society makes progress. And if we don't have dreams and visions and fantasies, then there would be no learning. If you want to get help in life, conform to these creational natural laws, because the creation gives help to those who are magnanimous, virtuous, studious, honest, and fair, because they alone evolve in conscious form according to their pre-existing striving and effective sense of life. So striving is directly proportional to your happiness. So the more you're willing to strive, and of course you want to remain neutral, positive, equalized, balance while you're striving. Don't let work yourself to death where it negatively affects your harmony. We don't want to go to that level. That becomes very, very unproductive. I want to go over a few German words quickly. One is Gasthaus, Gasthaus, in restaurant, hotel, or guest house. See, our human body is like a guest house. And our spirit form is in this human body as just as a guest more than anything. So we can't get too caught up in the physical life. You know, one of the foregangers of Edward Albert Meyer, one of his predecessor personalities, is this individual named Nokodemian. And we have storage banks in our universe. We have storage banks for the planet, storage banks for the solar system, storage banks for the galaxy and for the universe. And let me read to you something that comes from the Nokodemian storage banks. In the Nokodemian storage banks, I have learned a word regarding the difference between the spirit and the human, which vividly presents that the spirit of the human is a tiny part of creation energy in the human. So this can, with the human, for example, in a way be compared to, as the human body is similar to a guest house, in which the spirit stays as a guest, where it also feeds itself and makes payment for this. If the guest house, however, is demolished or somewhat destroyed, then the spirit, which indeed is a guest, leaves the place of destruction. For humans is to be realized that this means that the spirit in him as a guest lives and learns and receives food and lodging, and at the same time it enlivens the entire body, and that's the way it pays, the spirit does, for food and lodging. And when the human dies, then the spirit escapes immediately from the body and goes over into its beyond area. So there is a kind of an energy band around the planet. The spirit leaves the body in death. It takes the material consciousness with it. And then it goes into this spirit realm. And then there's an overall consciousness block where the work begins for the new lifetime. And the spirit escapes immediately from the body and goes over into its beyond area in order then with the next new personality in the next life again to become bound and to be a new guest in a new human body. So the spirit form creates the new personality. It goes through the experiences of the material consciousness. And it creates these evolutive values which are stored in the spirit form. So it strives, the spirit form strives in the other realm. So death is, there is no escape from the striving just because of death. Let me read a little more. This is from Contact Report 579. The spirit is therefore not the brain, as it is also not some other part of the human body. It must be understood as a formless continuum in the roof of the midbrain, paired node, called the superior colliculus of the human. And because the spirit is a formless or non-material nature, it can also not feel or grieve, be sick or be hindered or harmed by any material object or through the intelligence of the human. That is very interesting. The spirit form, I've never heard it described that way, is understood as a formless continuum. That's quite interesting. Again, the spirit form is completely invulnerable. It cannot be hurt by anything in the material realm. It cannot feel or grieve. It can also not feel or grieve. That's interesting. It can't feel either. It can't be sick or hindered or harmed by any material object or through intelligence of the human. It is therefore very important to understand that there are no unpeaceful or peaceful spirit conditions, because such conditions are reserved alone for the human consciousness. Solely can unpeaceful or peaceful or sickness conditions only appear in the consciousness, which can disturb or lift up the inner peace, because only the consciousness is able to create through thoughts of feeling and feelings, rage, envy, and desiring disadvantage, blindness, or valuable peaceful conditions, because the spirit itself behaves in every way absolutely neutrally and does not interfere in consciousness interests. This is very interesting. The spiritual consciousness has something called the Gemut, which is like a... The Gemut looks after, regulates the feelings and thoughts of this the spiritual consciousness. And it's completely invulnerable. There's nothing in your spirit form that will ever be hurt by anything. Because the spirit itself behaves in every way absolutely neutrally and does not interfere in consciousness interests, the human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and the sorrow of his consciousness. Consequently, he himself always is responsible for all of strivings and thought, feeling, psychic like suffering, not however his spirit, as well as not other humans, bad community, material, social conditions, etc., truthfully originates all of the suffering. The material consciousness originates all the suffering through blind and pathological, as well as incorrect consciousness conditions. Through the thoughts and the feelings play a very important role. You know, somewhere, and I used to have this memorized, that suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking. So if you have suffering in your life, it's because of wrong thinking. We don't really pay enough attention to that concept. We always blame suffering on some circumstances. The most important point with the understanding of the consciousness is that liberation from dimension suffering is not outside of itself, but can only be found in it, as well as the thoughts and the feelings. A continual liberation can therefore not be found through the spirit, but only through the purification of the consciousness, as well as the thoughts and the feelings. If henceforth the human wants to be free of the consciousness, thought, feelings, psychic-like suffering, as well as problems and sorrows, and if he wants to find continuing peace, freedom, and harmony, and an everlasting inner happiness, then he must deepen his knowledge and understanding of the consciousness. This is, again, Contact Report 579. If you go to the Future of Mankind, Google Future of Mankind, and at www.futureofmankind.co.uk, you will find a gigantic storehouse of knowledge. Now, these contact reports are records of Billy's conversations with extraterrestrial humans who showed up first in 1943, Sloth did, and then another woman named Asket in, what was that, about 1953 or 4, was Billy's first contacts with Asket, and they lasted about 7 years, so they stopped somewhere around 65, maybe, I'm guessing, 65 or so. And then Billy had a normal life until about 1974, 1975. Then Semyase landed her strange silvery craft. It was more of a beam ship. And the two would have conversations there in Switzerland, right out in the open, right around 1975. And then, of course, people started finding out and coming, and they had to be more discreet about it as time went on. But those contacts were cut short because of an accident that occurred when one of the members of Billy's group walked in on a discussion that Billy and Semyase were having. It seems that our thoughts are very destructive to people as advanced as the Pleiaren, and they're so sensitive. They're so keyed into things, and our negative thought vibration that's continually there all the time just literally causes them to lose control of their physical body. She fell, hit her head, and long story that eventually the contacts had to be cut short, and she's still undergoing medical treatment. So that's one of the reasons why a lot of these very highly advanced extraterrestrials, the Pleiaren, incredibly highly advanced, they still have time in the physical body, but they're at the last stage, the fifth stage. We have much, much more time. Human beings spend about 40 to 60 million years in the physical body, reincarnating. The first four stages, first five stages of evolution. So eventually we won't need completely need a physical body. We'll be half physical, half spiritual. And that's the sixth stage. And then the seventh stage, we completely become spiritual again. No need for a physical body. And we slowly go through these seven spiritual levels. And we merge back with the creation, which is love and wisdom. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. But there's no personality there. There's no gender there. It's completely neutral. But being in that eternal state is quite pleasurable compared to the physical. Let me continue here. I find this very interesting, this contact report 579. In conclusion, is still the following say, which I have already previously written, and here add as a partial repetition and explanation. The human spirit, to locate and track down, at least at the present time, is impossible for the human, the earth human, because neither among the necessary apparatuses nor similar means he has at his disposal. Can he track down the spirit energy and to measure this? The human spirit, respectively the spirit form, cannot be seen by humans because the pure creative spirit energy cannot be detected by human eyes, as well as also not sensed. There are also still no apparatuses or analyzing devices, etc. The Pleiaren have them, we don't. Also, not of the ranges of ultraviolet or infrared through which it would be possible to see the spirit respectively. the spirit form because spiritual energy is as invisible as pure air. So you're not going to see it in the ultraviolet. You're not going to see it in the infrared either. The spirit, respectively, the spirit form of the human is of a purely creative energetic nature and has nothing to do with the consciousness. That's just very, very interesting. I wonder what he means by nothing to do with the consciousness. It sends these impulses of wisdom. So I'm not sure what he means here, as well as also not with the brain flows, which can be detected and measured. Incorrectly, since time immemorial, the consciousness has been described as a part of the human being, although the spirit, however, is totally of another nature than the consciousness. The spirit, or rather the spirit form of the human, is purely creative, while the consciousness is a factor of the human and responsible, that thoughts can be created from out of it, whereby also complete rational logic emerges from it, such as understanding and reasoning as well. The spirit, respectively the spirit form, on the other hand, is only creative nature-like, predetermined energy, which enlivens the human body. This is an amazing contact report. I'm going to have to write this down. Contact report 579. And go out to the Future Mankind site. Find it. Read it. When the spirit leaves the body, then it escapes into its beyond plane, which exists in the same space as the present reality of the planet. Through the so-called beyond plane is in another dimension in comparison to the real material reality space. And I mean in finest spiritual energetic nature. Regarding the planet, the beyond plane, therefore, is arranged around it, like this plane, however, also is further existing universe-wide. However, in contrast to the material reality plane, in a finest material to which the human as a material life form in no way has access, and consequently nothing can be seen and nothing detected. Therefore, is it in this plane impossible for human? Therefore, in this plane, it is impossible for the human to see or somehow detect the material body escaping the spirit, respectively, spirit form. So I guess what it's saying here, at least at our level of technology, we cannot see the spirit form leaving the material body. Wow. Cannot believe time is basically up here. Let me read just a few more words. That the beyond area of the planet in a differentially dimensioned form than the real material reality space is not only arranged for it, but also in the entire universe, this has its reasons. This translation is difficult. Maybe there's still problems with it. Anyway, are you listening to Ohio Exopolitics? I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day. Bye-bye.